Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.
Welcome to Living the Solution with Dr. Elena George. Today we have a very important show about what we need to do as individuals and humans and Christians, and that's prayer. We're in some interesting times, as I always say, and it's been hard on people emotionally, physically, economically. And with everything that's happened in the last month or two, I don't know if people who don't have a way to have a relationship with God have a way to express that. And for me, that's prayer. And it's been really amazing for me. But I wanted to have somebody come on who could speak more to it. And today we have a physician. Her name is Dr. Patricia Burgess, and she's a member of the Christian Medical and Dental Association. Specifically, she's the Global Health Outreach Director since 2018. She's from went to the University of Georgia for her undergraduate degree. She's had an interesting life. She's also been a firefighter prior to becoming a physician. She attended the Medical College of Georgia and did a residency in emergency medicine at the University of Missouri in Kansas. She's felt a calling for mission work, and she's done wonderful work in Nicaragua and other South American countries and in the Caribbean, including Dominican Republic, El Salvador, and in Africa and Ethiopia and India and Moldova. So she's been around quite a bit. And one of her callings is to minister and to teach. And that's something I think we do as physicians, but you have an extra extension, which I think is really just fascinating and needed. And so, Dr. Burgess, I wanted to thank you so much for coming on. I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Oh, I'm going to enjoy it too. I've always learned more and more over the years about prayer. It seems like such a simple thing to say, just pray about it. But it can get complicated and confusing, and you're not sure if you're praying right, mm-hmm. or you don't feel like your prayers are going anywhere. So even though it sounds simple, and it is, there's just a lot of things we can learn about it too.
Well, let's start from the beginning. You came to mission work, and starting as a physician, we do a lot of empathy and compassion. But this is another level. What led you to mission work?
Really, it was the Lord. You know, I just felt this calling to go. And another thing, you know, working in the emergency room, you're not allowed really to share the gospel. For one thing, there's not a lot of time. You know, we were in a high volume, high acuity ER, and you don't have a lot of time to stop and pray for people. I would tell them I would pray for them. But I knew deep in my heart that we needed to do this. We needed to pray. We needed to talk to people. We needed to share the gospel. We needed to serve through healthcare in Jesus' name. And a lot of people, you know, as I was learning and in Sunday school and stuff, would say, well, I just try and let people see Christ by how I act, which is definitely important. But there comes a time when we have to do it in Jesus' name. We have to share the gospel. And I had never done that before. I was sort of dreading it in that I was really uncomfortable doing it. But once I did it, I shared the gospel. Someone accepted Christ. They really understood what I was trying to tell them. It just was transforming to me because I mumbled and bumbled my way through it. I certainly wasn't eloquent. I certainly don't have pretty prayers. You know, like some will pray and you're like, wow, I wish I could pray like that. But at the same time, it's not us. It's the Holy Spirit working in and through us and our prayers. That gets you understanding to be more bold in what you're asking for. You know, James 5:1-6 tells us the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. So we have to believe that. And that by righteous, we're not saying that we're all good and that we're perfect people and we know what we're doing because we're Christian. We're saying Jesus Christ has saved us. You know, we have that salvation and redemption from him that makes us righteous. So it's truly through the power of the Spirit that we can pray at all. And one of the things I like to look at when you're thinking about prayer is I really think, you know, if you have a relationship with Christ and, you know, hear a lot about him being your friend, I think over the years we start to lose the awe of that, the amazingness. of that relationship. And so sometimes I think it's important just to remember to whom it is you're praying. So if you look at John's vision in Revelation 1, 10 through 16, he's saying, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like the sound of a trumpet saying, write in a book what you see and send it to the seven churches. And he explains that a little bit. But then he says, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the middle of the lampstands, I saw one like a son of man, clothed in a robe reaching to the feet and girded across his chest with a golden sash. His head and hair were white wool, like snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze when it has been made to glow in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of many waters. His face was like the sun shining in its strength. And you just think about that vision of the majesty and the power Jesus has, and that your prayers are going right to the very throne. And if you want to look at where they're going, to the very throne of his grace, Revelation 4, 3 through 8 talks about there's a rainbow around the throne like an emerald, thrones surrounding the throne, and 24 thrones surrounding the throne with 24 elders sitting clothed in white garments and golden crowns. And from the throne came flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne, there was something like a sea of glass, like crystal. And in the center and around the throne, four living creatures. And then he goes on to describe them as like a lion, a calf, a face like a man, and a flying eagle, who do not cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord, the Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come. When you just think about it, your prayers are going right in the midst of all of that. It just makes you realize the awesomeness and the power that your prayers can have.
Absolutely. And, you know, you mentioned initially before you had the spirit and the courage to speak your truth, you know, the ER, you're right, can be very cut and dry, limited. And was there any pushback? Was there any negativity from your colleagues, the department? I'm just curious, or patients who clearly weren't Christian?
Not from patients. Now, if you're praying, it really needs to be when the spirit guides you to. Mm-hmm. And clearly you're not going to pray to everybody, but we did have a nurse who was, you know, I refer to her as a prayer police. Like, you know, we would have holds and security would have to watch them. Usually they were suicidal or, you know, trying to harm themselves. And every now and then they would pray with them or, you know, speak a scripture to them, and they would get reported. So you had to be cautious. And if I did pray for somebody, I would usually shut the door and always, of course, ask them, mm-hmm, you know, would it be helpful if I prayed for you? And usually they wanted it. In fact, very few times, I've been all over the world, very few times, and typically Muslim, have I ever been declined even prayer. I would say 5 or 6 times in thousands of patients. So most people are willing to get prayed for, but you do have to be very careful. I think in some facilities probably are more receptive of that than others.
Got you. You know, I had a conversation with another physician, and one of the things that has struck me about the whole movement socially in our country is that we've let people define us. We've let people define us as physicians, and we've let people define us as Christians. And I don't think we should never have given people that kind of power. And now it's really important to take it back, to own it. You know, it's not a bad thing to be a Christian, and no one gets to define me as such, you know.
I agree with that completely.
We're going to take our first break, and I'm going to pick up when we come back. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living the Solution. We're speaking with Dr. Burgess. She is the Global Health Outreach Director for the Christian Medical and Dental Association. And before the break, I think you sent a really nice background and foundation for what prayer is. You know, I think we tend to get lost in just asking for things and hoping that we can get out of scrapes. And it just always seems for some, and I think we've all been there, slapdash, just not really just asking God for things, but not thinking on a deeper level. So from your point of view, and in terms of prayer, you just described who you and what you're praying to. It's majestic. It's gracious. It's amazing. And is that what people need to focus on when they're praying?
I think it just helps you understand the power your prayers can have, and not such a way that it's intimidating, but that you're invited to come to that very throne. And so when you think about it, you know, so many things are hard about it. I think the biggest hardship in it is just setting out the time to take to pray. And sometimes we just rattle off a laundry list of things we want and move about our day, you know, after our amen. But we forget one of the most important parts of our prayer, which is then just to spend time and listen. You know, give the Lord a chance to speak back to you. He's not like Santa Claus. We just want a bunch of things. And we don't want just what we want. We want to make sure we're praying within his will. And that takes spending time with him and having a relationship. I think one of the things, you know, when I was first learning and studying about prayer, you know, I would pray sort of vague things. I remember being like just suddenly realizing the idea that I didn't have to pretend with God. Like, you know how you think, oh, I can't believe you can say, oh, I help my doubt. I'm doubting, help me believe. I'm like, oh, you can actually let God know that you don't believe in him. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like, wow, I can actually let him know because he knows already. So I always tell people, you know, for one thing, taking time out to do it, become messy. He doesn't want us to come perfectly. He talks about us coming with childlike faith, which is really just confidence in your Father's love. And so I think it's okay to come to him messy, stressed out. I used to say as a working mom, overwhelmed with life, with a wandering mind, and I'd be praying. And it didn't matter, it seemed like, how early I got up. If I had a light bulb on, I'd hear the pitter-patter of tiny little feet when my kids were young. You know, so just trying to get that time alone to pray and spend time with him. And I don't know how many times, you know, you feel guilty, but I would be praying in the morning. I'd be thinking, oh, and I got to remember to pick up tomatoes and I got to pick up the dry clean. I was like, wait a minute, I'm praying. And, you know, you just get distracted and you just feel like, ah, I'm such a failure at this. But that's exactly how God wants us to come to him. Not having it all together, not perfect. In fact, the only person who is perfect on earth was the most dependent human being that ever lived. It was Jesus. You know, in John 5:30, he tells us the Son can do nothing of his own accord. In John 5:19, I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. So Jesus, being the most dependent person on earth, could do nothing without the Father. So if we feel like, oh, we've got to pray specifically, we got to know and ask for certain things, and then I would spend time trying to figure out the solution to my problem so I knew what to pray, instead of just laying it in God's lap and saying, here's my hot mess of a life, God, I don't even know what to ask for, and just letting him have it and not asking for anything, but just letting him have that. Because in the end, our goal in life is to become more Christ-like. And so the more we come to him just messy and overwhelmed, don't even know what to ask for, and relying on him, the more Christ-like we are, if you put that together with how Jesus was. So I tell people, just don't feel like you have to have it all together, know what to even ask, know even, you know, what to say, just to come to him. And my most popular prayer, the one I say most commonly myself, is that I call it my one-word prayer, and it's just Father. And then I just sit and let him feel my heart and try not to think words in my mind and just wait for him to speak to me. It's just such a peaceful way to go before the throne of grace and just let him speak to you instead of always feeling like you have to hurry and rattle off what you want.
So when you speak, it reminds me that it's about being in the moment and being present. Not thinking what came before, not thinking what's coming. It's just emptying your mind and being in that state of present, you know, beingness. Is that right?
Exactly. I mean, it's not like we have to know what to say. We have to know. I mean, the Lord already knows. One of the ironies of prayer, yet it can be the power of prayer also, is that God knows. He already knows what's on our heart, yet we need to ask him. You know, he already knows, but he wants us to ask him. And God is already ready to answer our prayers, yet we must persist in continuing to pray and waiting on his answer and trusting that he's going to. So, I mean, it's not complicated. It's very simple, but it's a matter of trusting. And honestly, the more I've learned, the more I'm grateful that I don't have to come to him with specific prayers and know exactly what to ask for. Because a lot of times as my kids got older, you know, and, you know, they were going directions I didn't think they should. They weren't following the Lord like I thought they should. And I was running out of wisdom, and I was running out of that influence where they were going to listen to me anyway. And so I would just lay my children at the feet of my Father and say, God, I know you love them more than I do. I don't even know what's good for them. I don't know what your plan is for them. You know, how can I push them into college just if that's not your plan for them? You know, so there's a lot of things I think we let the world influence. And I'm right. I agree completely with you when you said we shouldn't be labeled. I think most recently Christians and conservatives have been villainized. Mm-hmm. And I refuse to back down from my conservative beliefs and let them claim that. Same thing with the rainbow. You know what? The rainbow is the sign of God's promise. And I'm not going to let any organization take the rainbow from us. You know, I'm still, you know, reminded when I see one that God promises, you know, to us, you know, and to help us and not hurt us. So, you know, I just don't think that we should back down from our faith. The Bible is the same yesterday, today, and 1,000 years from now and 1,000 years ago. And we just need to trust in the Lord, even though sometimes it seems like we're losing.
Oh, you never lose with God, right? And one of the things mm-hmm. that really strikes me about being Christian is that you can't live in fear because God has got you, right? He's going to protect. You may not get what you want, what you think you want or what you think you need, but you always get, it always comes out good in the end. And when you have that, you can't let man or these people trying to define you who have really don't feel very good about themselves, in my opinion, trying to, you know, foist themselves on you so you can feel just as bad as they do. I don't subscribe to that. So it's do the right thing for the right reason, trust in the end point and have faith in it. And then you can't really live in fear because it's really, you can't have those two spaces share the same space. It doesn't work, does it?
No, it doesn't. In fact, it just makes you want to go back to, okay, who am I praying to? Mm-hmm. And getting that vision. And I read over those sometime, Revelation, just to remember the power of where we're and who we're praying to. But another thing about prayer is praying. I think sometimes we don't hear God's answer because he's not answering what we want. You know, you have to pray with an attitude of obedience. So if you're asking for something, he may have already answered, just not the answer you wanted or in a different way. But that doesn't mean he hasn't answered your prayer. So if you're stuck on or determined to pray for one specific outcome, and he may even be answering that in a roundabout way. But if you're not willing to be obedient to what he's speaking back to you, you might not hear his answer. So I think it's important to not try and tell God what he should do.
I agree with that. Yeah, that's not a good outcome. So from the standpoint of taking a step back and being able to be, it's almost like you have to be humble and just open your heart. From that standpoint, does that change, in your opinion, people's relationships with each other? If we were more kind and more empathetic and compassionate with each other, I'm not sure we'd be in half the situations we are in the world today.
Oh, I agree completely. You know, the scripture says, humble yourself before the Lord. I mean, that's the first step in seeking his help, you know, is to humble yourself before him. But, and I've been praying about this lately because I've been getting, I start getting sucked into that worldly political arena mm-hmm. and I get angry, you know, and I'm starting, you know, wanting to push back and feeling hate in my heart, you know, for certain things that are happening that I think are so wrong. Like the whole abortion issue. And I've been stepping back and saying, God, help me with that emotion, that feeling. I know it's not good. I know it's wrong. But I'm having a hard time letting go of it. I think, you know, the more our country struggles, the more God will reach people. I think we have a revival coming. Mm-hmm. But we as Christians have to stand out as good, you know, the fruits of the Spirit, as good and kind and loving and mm-hmm. graceful and merciful to people. And right now I want to push back sometimes and not be that. But that's not how we're going to win them for Christ. That's not how we're going to increase his kingdom. So it really, I think right now Christians really need to be on our knees praying for our country. I've learned some more about intercessory prayer. I used to wonder why that was even a thing, because doesn't God already have a plan? You know, isn't he already doing what he's going to do, and how are we going to change that? But it really is bringing a person or a circumstance before God. But the key to that is allowing God to change you with and help you have his attitude and his perspective on it. Not change the circumstance or even change the person necessarily, but change how you're looking at it. So it's sort of a connection with God that's allowing him to change you from the inside. And we talk about intercessory prayer. I remember what years ago my son was sick with a ruptured appendix, and he was just getting worse and worse even after surgery. And I really realized our church stopped everything. We were transporting to a children's hospital during church time, and they just stopped everything to pray for us. And I really saw the value in that, because I was busy lecturing God on how taking my son would not be good. There was nothing that would good come from that. You know, it would not glorify, you know, I was lecturing God instead of praying. And I certainly could not have prayed, "Thy will be done," you know, in my son's life. But the church coming alongside us and praying for us and helping that, I think was so powerful, a lesson to learn. We need to be doing that for our country right now.
I absolutely agree with that. On that note, let's take our second break. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living the Solution. We're speaking with Dr. Patricia Burgess. Again, she is the outreach director for the Christian Medical and Dental Association, and she's involved with global health. And this is, you're right, this has been a very trying time, but it's teaching everybody patience. It's teaching everybody that how important God is. I've felt exactly what you felt. This is I don't like, you know, bald-faced lies and the things that's happened in the country. I don't care what political persuasion you are. When there's cheating and lying and people getting hurt, and I'm talking about everything, not just political, but in the healthcare sector as well. It's very painful to know what's going on, and it takes courage to tell the truth these days, because people are there to try to smack you down like some sort of whack-a-mole. But the truth is the truth. And now I think it's going to start coming out. And I'm really thinking about the opposite side of this. When people really, really understand what has happened medically, politically, and everybody's on the same page, there's going to be a lot of people who need some hand-holding and need God in their lives, because it's tragic, honestly.
Oh, I agree. I think it's been almost overwhelming. I've been talking with other physicians, and I think history is going to look back at this time in medicine and healthcare, and it's going to be a dismal, dark side of medicine, where physicians are being forced to do things that are really harming patients, you know, in the long run, instead of helping them, and just killing millions of babies in the womb, and just all the things medicine is doing right now that just really are sad, and no way you could say that's within the will of God. And so you got to stop and wonder, what are you doing, God? Where are you at work? Sometimes I wish I could see the big picture. You know, this recent quarantine on international travel has grounded GHO indefinitely. And we're not traveling. And so I've just been really discouraged and just like, God, I wish I could see the big picture sometime. I know you're at work. I trust you. But I wish I could see, but a lot of times we can't until we're on the other side. And we see where doors have opened, where things have changed, where he's been at work that we just can't see right now because he's still in process working on that. I learned that lesson a couple of years ago. We had the Nicaragua crisis of political unrest. And GHO was sending 10 teams a year, though. So we lost a bunch of teams. And so it was a lot of work scrambling to cancel and, you know, return airline tickets and all that mess. But when we stopped and got through that, and we're trying like, oh no, what are we going to do? God had opened doors around the world. We had added refugee care teams. We'd added human trafficking teams. So even though it seemed like a horrible crisis when we were looking right at it, as we were working through it, we saw what God was doing. So I know we're going to get there with this time in our country's history, and just continue to pray. And, you know, sometimes I tell God, I don't even need to see the answer. I don't even have to know. I just trust you that much that you're at work. And I do ask, though, that I can be a witness in my prayers. I'm like, Lord, use me to reach people for you. As things are getting worse, let me stand out as the salt and the light for you in crazy times.
I feel the same way. And it doesn't take a lot of people. It just takes the will. It takes the energy change where instead of feeling this is so bad and what power do I have? That's kind of where people I think have been in the last 3 weeks or so. I don't think that's happening anymore. I think people are realizing I have power. I am important. What I feel and, you know, the goodness needs to reign. This cannot stand. And I think that people are coming to God. From my perspective, I'm seeing a lot more people, and my patients specifically, who, you know, God is in control. God is in the head of my life. It's almost like the first thing that we communicate with. And it's empowering. You feel good at the end of the appointment. They leave feeling good. And as long as we have God in the head of our lives, nothing can hurt us. And that's what I think people are coming to. Because if you depend on this, it's so much shifting sand, people lying in your face, telling you it's the truth. I mean, it's just crazy right now. I just have completely pulled back from it.
Yeah, it is crazy. Some of the things we could do is bars or prayers. We all know to humble ourselves before the Lord and to pray regularly, but pray with others. Mm-hmm. You know, the power of a community of prayer, certainly at church, but even if you have a small group, I have a small group that's been meeting this whole time through Zoom. But we're continuing to pray together over things like this. Pray scripture, you know, pray God's promises through scripture. We all need to repent and ask forgiveness. I have, you know, of the anger and hate and just frustration I felt and how unfair things were. And then still be remember to be thankful for the things that he has continued to give us throughout this time. And there's a ton of them. And just all the workers around that are continuing to face it and work, you know, even when, you know, that they're at risk and there's concern, they're still doing it. Mm-hmm. And I think the one of the last things about prayer that we really need to remember, we haven't covered everything for sure, but remember, we have to remember we have the power of the Holy Spirit right within us. So that same Spirit that is in us now as believers is in the throne room of God. So it's our such a connection to God is that Spirit that's in you is there also. And Romans 8:26 says, we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And I remember I was in El Salvador, and our national partner is named Mauricio, and his wife was dying of ALS, which is a horrible, miserable death, you know, a slow paralysis, and that she had lost ability to swallow and speak. And so we surrounded her and prayed for her and Mauricio. We were reading scripture over her. And when we were done, she just started groaning. And Mauricio told us that's her praying. She can't speak anymore. So she groans her prayers. And I was just like, what a picture of what the Holy Spirit does for us every single day that we turn to him. And even when we're busy and don't feel like we have time to turn to him, he's still there. He's still groaning for us and for our needs and for, you know, the things that make us sad and hurt us.
Well, I think you didn't mention it, but gratitude seems to be something that's extremely powerful with, you know, I start my prayers with what I'm thankful for. And by the end of, I just feel really good. You know, whatever's going on around us, you're right. There's always something good. And you can either choose to highlight the negative, or you can choose not to. And if you don't, if you try to take the positive pathway, it does do a lot to help your sense of well-being, your health, your immune system, everything, right?
Absolutely. It gives you that sense of like almost like a balloon deflating, that relaxation, you know, that that you've just turned it over to him and are going to let him take care of you, so that you can relax. You know, sleeping is an issue. You know, in my mid-50s now, I don't sleep well some nights, especially if I have things that I'm stewing over my mind, which has been a lot the last 2 months. And I'll just even start going through the alphabet and trying to name attributes of God. So like A, he's awesome. B, you know, he's a beautiful. And C, he's my Christ. He cares for me, you know, and just work through it that way. Just helps you remember all the good things and the strong attributes of our Savior, that he's our Lord and Savior. So there's so many things that we can remember if we just take some time to spend time with him about it, not worry about whether we're saying it all right. There's things and advice for prayer in the Bible he gives us. We can look at Jesus' life as an example, like, you know, praying in the quiet place, you know, or desolate place, which I remember as, you know, a mother, I was like, where is that? Because I don't know anywhere I can get away from all these kids, you know, or, you know, when early in the morning, and then here would come the pitter patter of feet. I know serving in Zambia a couple summers ago, they had a mountain nearby, and a lot of people said they went up on the mountain to pray. You know, so many things that we do, you know, are taught, you know, through scripture, but that there are ways to seek that connection with the Lord, and just really let their prayers, you know, be felt and heard. And really just that one word prayer, just Father, is so helpful. But we do on our missions, and even here, we need to look at not just our physical health, but our spiritual health. We need to have a holistic approach, not just in our patients, but in caring for ourselves, you know, and mm-hmm. making sure we're eating right and taking vitamins if we need them, or getting sleep as much as we can. All those things we do, we need to focus on, you know, self-care, and then reaching out to others and helping them too. And really, if there is a chance to share the gospel, you know, baby steps, make a friend. You know, I used to hear the saying was, make a friend, be a friend, bring a friend to Christ, you know, as a way to connect with people and then open up to share the gospel.
I think that's a great idea. And especially now in this day and age where we're all separated, it's something that could actually help the, you know, our consciousness and our well-being, because a lot of people are having depression and anxiety from being removed from society and then living in fear. And I feel badly for them, because it's really a rut once you're in it. Unless you have a way like prayer and a relationship with God, I think it's very difficult to extract yourself from that negativity.
Yeah. And the more isolated you are, the more isolated you feel, and then the less you try and reach out.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the other things that's been so powerful in my life, you know, we talked about in church, or learned it several years ago, but, you know, you get down on your knees to pray. But there are those times in your life where things are so difficult, so hard, that you really just go face down, like face down on the ground, just flat out. And we can do that for ourselves, but we can do that for others. That same time when my son was sick and I was just devastated and just sick with worry over it and trying to be faithful and worry that worry was stress, you know, that worry's bad for you. But she sent me a card and she said, I want you to know that I've been face down praying for Derek, my son. And it just, you have no idea how much that made me feel better and relaxed me. So those people that we know of, like neighbors or elderly or whatever, mm-hmm. not only reaching out to see if they need any help or whatever, but saying, you know, I'm on my knees for you. I've been on my knees praying for you. It's such a comfort to know that people care that much. Mm-hmm. You know, you can flippantly say, oh, I've been praying for you. But you know, we all say that, were you really, you know, but to say, you know, I took the time to get down on my knees and pray for you, if you did, you know, honestly, of course, but, so I've been trying to do that more, making a point of really earnestly praying for people I know who are struggling. Like I have a good friend whose husband died from COVID. And I have been, you know, on my knees for her, just groaning for her, because I know how painful that, just watching her live through that process,
mm-hmm.
You know, that we just need to do that for people. We need to be on our knees for them.
I agree. On that note, let's take our last break. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living in Solution. We're speaking with Dr. Burgess, and one of the things that really strikes me about our conversation is the power that we have to share God with each other and how powerful that is. And with this two-tier system that we seem to be creating in our country, those that are believers and those almost that are not, and people who believe in good and people who don't believe in good, how can we as Christians and believers start to, for lack of a better way to put it, exert our will, where we can start changing the energy with intention. Because you can have your personal relationship with God, and that's awesome and it's very important. But you just described praying for people, having them know that someone cares, having a community. I think that's going to be the way to turn this energetically around.
Yeah, I think so too. I think for one thing, heartfelt prayers to the Lord to change hearts. You know, we pray that every mission trip. We pray pretty regularly in the devotions beforehand. Lord, just prepare hearts to receive you. I pray you'd soften them, make them willing to hear who you are. Help us to share the gospel. Help us cross any cultural language barriers there might be. We can certainly have that, and add in our country any race barriers or sex barriers or phobia barriers, you know, whatever it might be, mm-hmm. so that they see you in me. And the only way we're going to reach them is if that's something that appeals to them. So if we're like bashing back and getting angry and, you know, calling them baby killers, you know, or whatever it would be, mm-hmm. that's not going to attract them. You know, they know us by our love. So we've got to, and that's the only way we'll be able to do that when we're hurt or upset or angry or whatever, is through the power of the Holy Spirit living in us and working in and through us to connect with them. So just to pray, you know, it tells us to pray for our enemies. And how hard is that? And sometimes I feel like I'm a fake prayer when I'm praying for an enemy because I'm trying to be loving about it, but my mind isn't thinking that. But still, we're called to do that. So if we can show love and grace and kindness and gentleness instead of just bashing back and just praying for God to soften their heart and open their heart, and reach them, connect with them. Like even when my kids were teenagers and had a little bit of rebellion about it, I would just pray, Lord, it's not going to be me. I know it's not going to be me, but bring someone into their life that will shine the Christ light for them so that they can see you and be drawn back to you. And I think we can do that, you know, enemies, foreign and domestic, as mm-hmm. you would say. Our prayers can change the world, and we may not see it. We may not get to see it this side of heaven, but it won't mean it's not happening. That's the sovereignty of God and trusting in him. You know, I think it's Psalm 90:17, trust in him and surely commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust in him and he will bring it to pass. It's not Psalm 90:17. I can't remember the scripture now, but just have to commit it. This is, I'm committing this to you, Lord. I want this for our world, for our country, for whatever. I'm going to trust you are working to bring that. As long as you're praying within the will of God, which of course you're talking about people knowing him, you know, and becoming, you know, brothers and sisters in Christ. And so I think those prayers will be strong and effective. We just have to trust that.
I think we have to start somewhere, and it's faith, isn't it? It's all about believing in the power of the word and God and stepping out on it. I mean, you're right. You don't have to see it to believe it. And it doesn't have to be, you do one thing and you get a result right back that you can actually say is tangible. It's going to be a process, and life is a process, isn't it? And making sure that you're doing the right thing for the right reason in all your choices, which is not always easy to do, frankly, but it's the right thing.
No, especially not in the day to day. Right. It can be hard.
I think it's one of the things that keeps me going, right? It's, you can put your head under a blanket. You can, woe is me. It'll get better in the future, but you really have to do something. And it doesn't mean political, it just means putting something out that's positive and reaching across the aisle. I think that's a lot of angst, is that we've just separated from each other. This whole social media mindset of, I can throw a stone on digitally, but I would never do this with the person who's standing in my face and having to interact with the person. Maybe this is a good thing that we're going to have to stop the social media, because they're kicking off, you know, conservatives anyway. So we're going to have to go and be more out there, not hide digitally. And when people see there's people, that makes a difference, I think. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's okay. I was going to say, I agree that it's not the platform, because it's just, you argue back and forth and neither side is listening to the other. They're just bashing in their points. So I think some of this is going to be starting with people in our circle, you know, within our circle of influence, and trying to connect with people and have reasonable conversations to try and understand their viewpoints. I can give you an example. I have a friend through Jazzercise, so nothing medical related or church related. I just met her, you know, when we exercise and we do lunch every now and then. But she was disappointed when the Presbyterian Church voted not to allow homosexual leaders in the church. And I was like, surprised at that. And I was like, really? I think that's biblical, that, you know, we welcome them into the church, but they shouldn't be representing if they're actively living in sin without repentance. And so she argued back that her dad was a Presbyterian preacher and how he grieved for so many who were ostracized by the church and all of that. And so we ended up switching it to a private, to a message instead of on her Facebook page. But I explained to her, well, you know, we've actually had a homosexual person on one of our mission teams. And we didn't know this because we don't really Facebook stalk people. We don't ask that on our, you know, application. Mm-hmm. But the church we were serving in Europe did. And he was apparently engaged to be married to a man. And they were furious that we were going to bring that into their church, that team member, and that witness could have really damaged their church. People don't understand that the rest of the world isn't trying to be woke like the Western world is. And so it was eye-opening that she was campaigning for that. And I was doing the opposite, but I could understand why. Her perspective better. I still didn't agree with it. And she could understand my perspective and still didn't agree with it. Mm-hmm. But if we can't have some open conversations like that to try and understand why people are so adamant about certain things, that I don't think we'll have much change. But I do think it's going to take a lot of prayer to do that with love and grace. So we really just need to stay focused on letting God give us the spirit within us that can do that, that can stay calm and not get angry, that can be gentle, that can be kind. You know, the fruits mm-hmm. of the spirit, we need to be able to do that with those fruits evident.
Well, it's the skill, I think, to agree to disagree, which I think has been lost. It's demonizing the other side. It's trying to really just remove them, which has never been the case. I used to do debate, and you have an argument, you cite your source, you prove it, you have a collegial conversation with each other and keep it moving. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. And this is a diverse country. So nobody gets to lord anything, in my opinion, over anybody else. And I think we're more alike, honestly, than we are different. And somehow they've just highlighted, and I think made up, honestly, differences that aren't important and that really don't exist. When you go out and you watch people have dinner and lunch together and play sports together, they're not interested in what you look like, you know? So I'm not buying mm-hmm. into that we all hate each other and, you know, Black people haven't moved anywhere since the 1950s. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And I think we all need to just call it for what it is and call these people out and stop listening to them. Withdraw your consent is another popular thing that I like to do. If it doesn't suit me, I'm not going to go to your store. I'm not buying your products. I'm not doing it. Why would I support you when you stand against what I stand for? And that's okay. But I have the choice to do it. Maybe people should start doing that.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think that's part of our voice is, you know, where we spend our money and where and who we spend our time with and mm-hmm. all those things. Because you're right, we are so much more alike than we are different. Having traveled the world, you know, every continent except Antarctica, reaching people. And I like to do women's events or a ladies' tea where the women of the church that we're working with and the women on my team get together and we share some testimonies. But what I talk about at those is, you know, you see us, you know, as having all these great advantages and being this rich, wealthy, you know, people that look so different from you but seem to have everything. But in the end, we really all have the same hopes. We have the same dreams for our children, the same fears, the same worries about being able to provide for them and about them not getting injured or staying healthy, mm-hmm. that we are so much more alike than we are different. And the last one I did that, it was in Zambia, and two or three of the women shared their testimonies of hard things that have happened in their life. And then I asked if any of them would be willing to share their testimony. And it was interesting because this church had never gotten the women together before. They'd never even occurred to them to have just a woman's event. So they'd never heard of such a thing, and they were so excited about it. And we praised and worshiped to their music together, which was fun. But they opened up and poured their hearts out of just horrible things they've been through. And it was such a bonding moment of realizing, you know, here we are, you know, different continents, you know, hours away by airplane, yet we all are very much alike. And our country's the same way. In fact, they come to us. We're such a nice melting pot. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful picture of what heaven can be like and what it will be like when every tribe, every tongue, and every nation is there together, understanding each other, worshiping God together. We need to get a picture of that on our mind to think we can have a piece of that here on earth. Nothing like heaven, I'm sure, but we can have that. We can get together and get along and understand each other, or at least try to understand better.
I absolutely agree. I couldn't say it any better. And unfortunately, time goes so quickly, but I wanted to thank you so much for coming on today. I feel peaceful. I feel at peace. And I think I feel hopeful because I think this show is the essence of what people, I think, are really looking for. And your voice is very powerful in this movement. So I want to thank you. How can people reach you?
You can go to the CMDA. It's Christian Medical and Dental Associations. You can search that, or cmda.org. /GHO, and you can connect with me through that. My link is on there to email me. You can set up an appointment if you want to have a conversation. I'll be happy to talk about prayer, to talk about salvation in general, to talk about our mission, and help guide you and direct you where, if I'm not the one, maybe someone else at CMDA would be able to help you.
Well, thank you so much again. I really enjoyed it. And I hope you have a wonderful day.
Thank you so much. I really enjoyed being on here.
And thank you, everybody, for living in the solution.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.